Good evening, thank you for coming. If you'd rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Call roll, please.
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Steele.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Lee.
Here.
Thank you. It's now time for public comment. During public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the board's jurisdiction that's not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There'll be no dialogue between the commenter and the board. Any clarifying questions will go through the chair. Any public comment? I'll close public comment. Thank you. Okay. This brings us to item C, which is our yearly board officers appointment and district representation committee positions. Item one is a nomination and appoint district board positions for the 2015 year. We have a question. Kevin, do you have an appointment?
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Chris Steele for president.
Okay. Any other nominations?
Nominate myself.
Okay. We would vote on Chris first. There would be no discussion, just be the vote, am I correct?
I have discussion.
Go ahead.
Mr. President, members
can
of the
you
board.
Can you pull your mic down so we can?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Is that on?
Yep. In regards to the board officers and the rotation of the board officers, I would propose that we establish a system to rotate the board members through the office of president and vice president on a rotation basis, whereby a member must have served for 12 months on the board. The board presidency shall be assigned to a member who has not served if they have served longer than that. If every member of the board has served as president, then the next president will be the person who it's been the longest since they have served. In the events that we have a tie between two board members serving equal time, the tie would be broken by the director who had the greatest number of votes in the last election. Looking back over the period between 2010 and now, it appears that Director Graves has served as president twice, Director Steele has served as president, Mr. Simon, you've served as president, and I would like to see a rotation system set in so that we could just move people through, you know, it's a ceremonial position, but that we move people through on a sort of an organized, expected basis.
If I can, because it's not an agendized item, it would have to be, it would require a change in our normal procedure.
Correct.
It would need to become an agenda. It would have to be up for discussion as an agenda item.
I think it could easily table to the next Wednesday's meeting, and we could discuss it at that time.
I would suggest this might be something we talk about at the workshop, where we can have an open forum discussion about it. I personally will not be here at the next meeting. I have a surgery scheduled on the 20th, so I would not want to have this something discussed like this without my presence.
Discussion.
I think it'd be great to have a discussion about it. I think in the long run for the board, and we may not even be here, we're not going to be here forever, but to set up something so it's a rotation period and take kind of the politics out of it, and I think it'd be beneficial to discuss it and see if we can reach an agreement.
I think the only side for me is this is something that we should have put on the agenda to discuss. Rick could have put it on the agenda. We could have put it on and discussed it, made the change. At this time, as far as I know, this is something that happens at this time every year. The nomination of board positions is this time. It's been, I don't agree with how it's done. I happen to, the program, the plan that Bob has legs to it. I certainly don't have a problem with it, but we could also change it during the course of this year going forward.
Would it be reasonable to just defer this action Director Graves and all the directors are available for discussion. We don't have to make a decision tonight.
Yeah, you could just stay president until we have the discussion.
Right? Correct.
Here. What a big deal.
for clarification purposes, are you suggesting that it affects this particular nomination and election on this term for this year?
Yes.
I think it's a little late in the game to try to change things now.
Never too late to change.
My opinion is it's too late in the game to change things now for this particular cycle, although I do think it's worth discussing for future cycles. I just don't think it makes any sense to nominate, put somebody in position on a temporary basis at this point. It probably should have been, unfortunately you didn't have the opportunity to bring it up because you weren't on the board.
That's correct.
But that's part of the way that things work.
Well, you wouldn't put anybody in a temporary position and just hold President Graves, President Simon as president until we have our work session. What's wrong with that?
We're just talking about a month.
Yeah. Well, in your situation, who is it you're proposing would be the president?
We can't do it, guys. There's bylaws that we have to.
If you can give me just a moment, I'm trying to go through the bylaws here. I wasn't aware that this was a topic for discussion, so let me try to get through the bylaws here real quick and see if I can figure out what the requirements are.
Please bear with us. President Simon, would it be helpful to defer this item to later in the agenda while council has time to look?
Let's find it. I just assume do this. Let's be done with it.
Oh, we can go on to these other things.
But if you can't find it in a minute, we will.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading and it says Board of Directors. It says yearly the Board of Directors elects a President, Vice President, and President Pro Tem. The President of the Board chairs the meeting, performs the duties. Just says yearly. Doesn't say that it needs to occur in December or January or February. It just says it occurs on a yearly basis.
And it's been a year.
Yeah, I mean, Rick was just saying historically that you've done it at this time every year.
And for me, I mean, if it comes down to a vote, I prefer that the person at least serve as vice president before he serves as president. So in this case, who would you put in as president tonight? You've got three people who have all served.
Yeah.
I'm coming off.
So it would be Director Peace and whoever has been the longest since they've been president. So it would be either Director Graves or Director Steele.
That would be Graves.
Yeah, it would be Director Graves.
Right.
I think we should just handle it right now. I don't see any reason to postpone this. And I think, Director Peace, you brought something similar up a year or two ago. And I don't know if you talked to Director Lead about it, but I think that...
I showed him that concept. It didn't fly. So okay. That concept...
I rejected that one.
It was a little bit complicated.
It was a little too much thing. So that one's tabled indefinitely.
That was a puzzle, actually.
At this point... I think that we should carry the election on, and if there's a change to come, that we should become a work to put it as an agenda item and make the change and the verbiage and exactly how it's going to be changed, whether it's going to be changed to how you have it written or if it's changed at all. But I think on the night of the election, which has been customary since the inception of the board, to start trying to change it right now, I don't...
Well, and my only issue is... So I withdraw any concern about changing if a decision is made midstream. I don't know if that's an issue for the board or not. But for me, the issue tonight is that it's on the agenda to make those appointments, not to postpone them. And there's already a motion on the floor for two nominated people, so we have to deal with that motion. We can't just
ignore. There's no motion at this point. You've just got two nominations.
Excuse me. That's correct. There's two nominations on the floor currently for that for those positions. I would like to see us move forward with that at least for the time being.
I think we should do that also. And at this point, after the election, if we want to change it for next year's nomination, that's fine. I don't.
Well, and there's nothing that prevents the board from acting, you know, collectively a month from now, changing the chair based on the new bylaws. Should new bylaws be adopted? You could change it midstream. I mean, there's nothing that prevents you from doing so. It's just yearly it occurs. There's no term limit. There's nothing in the bylaws other than that.
In that case, if you want to put it on the agenda, it wouldn't be on the next agenda because you've got a member that's going to be gone. The agenda after that, which would be?
Workshop.
Either one. I certainly have no problem with that. So at this point, let's go forward with what we're doing here.
I'm supposed to be here for the 31st. Unless there's any complications, I'll be here for the workshop.
Okay. All right, let's do that. So at this point, we have a nomination, and the first nomination was for Chris Steele. Let's call the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No, three ayes. So at this point...
I'm sorry, what was the vote?
There were three.
3-2?
3-2.
3-2.
Right. At this point, I would like to make a nomination as I'm...
They both. They both. There was two nays.
Okay.
Three ayes, so the ayes carry.
Okay. All right. At this point, I'd like to nominate Bill Pease as vice president.
Second.
Doesn't require a second. You just call the vote if there's no further nominations.
Okay. If we can call for the vote, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so at this point... Chris, you could step in.
Pro Tem.
Did that
carry?
Does Chris take the vote for Pro Tem, or do I still do it? Chris does, doesn't he?
You can still do it.
Still part of you.
Still part of your.
All right. So we need a
official action.
Okay. And then I'm free.
You're not free.
Not free.
Got a lot of work ahead.
All right. I need a nomination for President Pro Tem.
Nominate Ron.
Fine with me. Any other nominations?
I'll nominate Kevin.
Okay. We'll call him Bob's first. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Did you vote for yourself?
Yes.
All right. Done.
Three handed.
Okay, at this point, I will now be happy to...
Whole experience thing.
I don't think it's going to matter.
I don't think that's very serious about that.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to matter.
Okay.
Okay, so at this point, I'd like to gladly give up my chair.
Yes.
You want to sit here next to the vice president?
Just switch the two and you're done.
Okay.
No, don't you want to sit near him?
Oh,
I'm trying to make it easy. Okay, you can doubt here.
All right.
Thank you.
Before you move on, I just would like to say, from staff's perspective, thank you, Mr. Outgoing President Simon. It's been great working with you in your capacity as chair, president of the board, the past year and a half. As we noted before the meeting started, you took over in some very difficult times in passing of former President Ray Tetro, and you've done the job very well, and I just want to thank you on behalf of staff.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
I'll also say you did a great job, too.
Thank you, Chris.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
All right. Okay, well, Happy New Year, everyone. I appreciate the support and confidence in the town's business here. At this time, I'd like to open up the discussion item C2, appointment of board members to district representative committee positions, and I'd open that with some discussion.
Mr. President, if I may, this is the annual appointment of the regional committee appointments. A couple of years ago, you may recall, those of you that were on the board at the time, we used to just have one big list of appointments, and we broke them down between committee appointments, regional committee appointments, regional types of groups, Contra Costa County, LAFCO, those sorts of things, versus subcommittees for things that are specific to the town of Discovery Bay, more staff meetings with board input. To things that would be coming before the board. For example, two things on tonight's agenda went before the Water Wastewater Subcommittee. So those are the two types of meetings. The first list of them, some of them are eligible for stipends, and the second list, none of them are eligible for stipends.
Rick, can I interrupt you for 1 second, Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Can you give us some thought to possibly bringing our area agency reports ahead? This is going to take a little while.
Yeah.
We've got two people on county time, and maybe get them in and out.
That's a good point. All right. At this time, we're gonna switch to item D, area agency reports. Sheriff's report, please.
Good evening, everyone, and Happy New Year. Hey, looking over the calls for service for December, ending out the year. It looks really good. I mean, we had 385 calls for service for the month of December, and we took 44 reports. The vandalisms you see there it's personal. I mean, when you're slashing tires and carving up cars, it's kind of a personal nature. One vehicle, the hard top of the vehicle was taken out from the driveway. one vehicle left some property in it. They saw it, broke a window, took it. Other than that, everything looks really good for the community itself. I will note that if you look at the calls for service itself, I mean, kind of add it, we've got approximately 35 calls just in the month of December alone for some type of suspicious person, vehicle, or subject stop. So I attribute that to the low property crimes that we've had in December. Hopefully we can maintain that record if people keep calling stuff in. Any questions from anyone? Concerns? Complaints?
Any noticed any activities around our parks at all that's highlight? Yeah.
No, you know, I remember bringing that up. I think it was 2 months ago. Somebody was mentioning something about that, which you're talking about. So I did make sure that the officers do know, especially the residents. I told them, hey, you need to get out and look at the bathroom and everything else. So I know that's been a hot spot on that aspect. I know we've been trying to concentrate in the parking lots too, because they seem to be congregating around behind shopping centers and stuff. So we got to the point where the officers have been there so much that I've gotten calls about the people that own businesses there going, why are the cops sitting in front of my store type stuff? But what can you do? So
I would think that would be a good thing.
I would too.
I think it is.
Like you own a bar.
Well, yeah,
you own a bar.
Anything else, guys?
No. Doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Tony? CHP?
Not here.
Okay. East Contra Costa Fire Protection District, please.
Good evening, Board. Anderson. A little background on the month of December for the district. We were a total of 571 calls. With an average response time of 7 minutes and 47 seconds. In the calendar year of 2014, the district ran 6,550 calls with an average response time of 7 minutes and 21 seconds. In the Discovery Bay area in the month of December, there were 83 calls with an average response time of 9 minutes and 12 seconds. In the calendar year of 2014, there were a total of 819 calls in the Discovery Bay area with an average response time of 9 minutes and 8 seconds. Just to give you a little difference of how much our crews are doing, not just in their first 10 areas, but across the district. So I told you that there were 571 calls in the district. The total rollouts for all our engines for the month of December were 743 calls. The Discovery Bay engine actually responded to 96 calls, so there was about another 13 calls on top of the ones in their first two areas that they were responding to. The calls in the Discovery Bay area for the month of December were about 14% of all the calls across the district. We continue to rely on Auto Aid and Mutual Aid, and as you can see, we used that 43 times in the month of December. We were also reciprocated back 13 times into Contra Costa Fire. For the year, we used Auto Aid 328 times, receiving 388 engines, and we responded into Contra Costa Fire 225 times with 207 engines. So you can see there's still about a 2-to-1 ratio on the amount of aid we received. The other big thing that happened on the first of the year is I reported to you in October, we had to do a temporary closure of the Knightson station and reopen the downtown Burnwood station due to some water and mold issues. On January 1st, we were able to reopen that station and get our response back across the board. That impact probably didn't see much difference whether the station's coming from downtown Brownwood or Knightson, because the response time out here for the second two engines is about the same. The Bethel Island area and the unincorporated areas on the northeast portion of the district probably saw response times increase up to 2 minutes. So that will help the overall picture of the district as we move forward. The district is still in the process of moving forward with its potential benefit assessment. We stopped the process in September, and the board will get a look at the draft engineer's report and discuss calling for that election at their February 2nd meeting. With that, I'm available for any questions.
Just one of clarification, because I don't know. When you're doing response times, is that from the time the dispatch office notifies the engine company, or is it when they actually kind of, or they're in the truck and they roll out the door?
The response time is from the time that they get notified. So if it's 2 in the morning, from the time the lights and bells go off, that includes their time of getting out of bed, getting on the engine, and responding to the call.
And then once they get on site and they get off the truck, and that's it.
You know, the reason a lot of times that we do not report the time from call from 911, and that time varies depending on the type of call, but each call goes through a process to determine what kind of emergency it is. Using a medical emergency as an example, does it need to be an ambulance only? Does it need to be a fire and ambulance? Does it need to be lights and siren? Does it need to be non-lights and siren? So it goes through a triage process. Depending on the medical and the severity and how helpful the person is on the other end of 911, that can take up to about 90 seconds to get that triage done.
Right, that's not included.
That's not included.
Correct.
Into the response.
That it shouldn't be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Murray Pipo, District 3 report.
District. Hi. Good evening. Happy New Year. Hope everyone's holidays were fabulous. Just a couple things to update you on. At Mary's request, there is a new Vasco safety sign on Vasco Road. If you have not seen it yet, it is on the Contra Costa side. It was recently installed. It is an anti-graffiti and it's a reflective sign. So hopefully people will be able to see it more. No one's going to be marking it up, that kind of stuff. We have also provided a sign, the same one, to the Alameda County side so they can put it on their side as well. So they'll be matching and hopefully we'll help to create some more safety on Vasco Road.
What's it say?
You know what, I asked for a copy of it before I came here because it just happened and I didn't end up getting it. So I can forward it to you if you'd like when I get it.
Yeah, just let the district know.
Absolutely, I can do that.
Thank you.
Not a problem. The other thing I wanted to let you know is that yesterday the Board of Supervisors did their board reorganization and Supervisor Pifo will now be the chair of the Delta Protection Commission this year. And she is also serving on the Delta Stewardship Council as well. So serving in these capacities will further her efforts to combat the aquatic weed issue on the local, state, and federal level. So we're looking at hopefully some good things in 2015. That's it.
Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll resume with item C2, appointment of board members to our committee positions. Any discussion or any changes?
Mr. President, these are presidential appointments with board concurrence. Just to remind everybody that that's the way the process works on this.
Thank you. I'm just going to go down these one by one, and then we can just make comments and jump in. If you have interest or if you'd like to change out, then let's decide that. Contra Costa County Aviation Advisory Committee, any changes on that? Any interest to change?
I'd like to stay there.
I find it the way it is. Yeah, I don't have any comment on that.
Okay, then we'll keep that position.
How does that, who says me?
Grab.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Contra Costa County Code Enforcement, we have a vacancy on that right now, and Director Simon, you're also on that.
I'd like to stay where I'm at, but this would be a if you have somebody who has time during the day, the problem is they meet at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I just can't go. Otherwise, I'd move to the primary, but I can't do it.
I was on it for a while.
They're 1 p.m. the last Thursday of the month.
In Brentwood?
You're available.
What? Where do they meet?
At Supervisor Pifo's district office.
On Walnut.
Off of Walnut in Brentwood.
Okay.
Would you be interested in serving?
Sure. Bob's doing that one.
All right. Director Lee will take that position, and Mark Simon will be alternate. Contra Costa Special Districts Association.
I'm fine staying there. Anybody else wants it?
I'm okay there. I'll continue to be the
alternate. East Contra Costa Fire Protection District Liaison.
I think we should leave that one the same, too.
At least until we get to this benefits assessment deal. But yeah, I'd like to stay there if it's okay.
Well, you put a lot of effort into it.
I've been doing that for 3 years now. So.
Okay, we'll keep that the same. East Contra Costa Water Management Association. It looks like that's mandatory. LAFCO Liaison. Anybody interested in going to LAFCO? I've been the primary. It's a good process.
I guess I'm sort of I'm a little bit at a kind of feel behind the eight ball here in terms of understanding each of these committee assignments, when they meet, where they meet, commitment. I mean, I'd be interested, obviously, helping wherever I can.
Okay.
But I'm not sure what the commitment is.
I'm going to recommend we keep it the way it is on the LAFCO right now, and then I'd be glad to take you to a meeting and introduce you to the supervisors.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Police Services P6 Committee.
I'll take the alternate if nobody else wants it.
I was going to be the alternate.
Oh, when does that meet, Rick?
They meet quarterly. They meet at the community center now.
It's an evening meeting?
It's an evening meeting.
Do you know what night of the week?
It's the second Wednesday.
There's one next week, I believe.
It's the second Wednesday quarterly.
Most of the issues have to deal with the CSO issues and the schools and how to allocate funds from the P6 zone. The meetings are generally very brief. I've been doing enough times to know.
Yeah, Bob shows interest in becoming the primary on that one, and I'll be the alternate.
All right, why don't we?
That sounds fabulous.
Thank you. Okay, school district representative liaison. I'd like to keep that.
I have no children in the school district.
And I have some good relationships over there, so I don't mind being the backup on that.
All right, we'll keep that the same. Regional transportation agencies.
Have you been going to those SR4 meetings?
Every time they've had a meeting, they canceled.
It's canceled, yeah.
It's canceled. So,
do you want to leave it the same?
Yeah, unless Bob needs another spot, I don't know. Okay, we'll keep it the same.
All right, we'll keep that the same. All right, moving on to board subcommittee appointments.
The
budget subcommittee.
I think we did a pretty good job last year. I'd like to see that status.
Yeah, I'd like to stay on that one.
Has there ever been any thought to combining the budget committee and the investment oversight and the public financing authority into one committee and have just a finance committee?
The finance authority has to be separate.
Finance authority should
remain a separate meeting.
Independent because it's a separate entity. It's a separate agency.
Yeah.
It could be the same people.
Same people, that's what I'm saying. It's just head of the district finances all together with the same people.
Well,
the investment oversight committee, for your information, hasn't met in the last couple of years for the basic purpose. There just haven't been any reason because it was costing us more money to invest the funds and pay the fees than we were getting. So we moved all of our as they matured, everything went to cash. In talking to some of the investment strategists at the CSDA conference back in October, some of them were starting to say, you might want to start thinking about getting back in. There might be some vehicles and some investments. So Dina and I talked briefly about getting some information and bringing it back to that committee at some point, probably in the first quarter of this year, but nothing has happened on this for literally 2 years.
Okay,
so we'll keep that the same. All right, communications subcommittee.
It has not met in a year and a half, and I don't anticipate it meeting again for who knows how long. Okay. So,
is there a need for that committee, per se?
It's nice if staff has something that we want to run by a couple board members just to see if it
we have
well, it's really up to your ink on a chart. I don't think it matters.
It's your discretion.
The committee made a report, and we had a
we did
recommendation.
Have a full-blown committee.
We haven't done anything with those recommendations.
Well, no, we have. We implemented newsletters, and we got the message board sign, and we did do a number of things, but there were some things. A more permanent sign out at the corner of Bixler and Highway 4, that was...
You know, maybe if...
Technology stuff.
About, you know, Lua tonight, we can continue on doing what we're doing, that's fine, but I think maybe it'd be beneficial, Bob's new, and I haven't been here since you started these committees, to put it into our study session as a discussion item as to how the committees are here, and then have us discuss if we want to combine some together or change some concept or something like that, just so we can all talk about it.
All right, we're going to keep the community center or the communications subcommittee.
On page 9 of 64 of your electronic version, there is a description of each of those subcommittees that describes what they do and what their functions are.
Yeah, I read those, but I think it might be good to have a board discussion just to freshen everything up and either go forward as is or change, right, tweak it a little bit or something.
Okay, that'd be great. Community Center Subcommittee. I'm interested in still serving on that. Anybody? Kevin, you still in? Okay, thank you.
Leave it the way it is.
All right. Investment Oversight Subcommittee. Chris and Mark, anybody you want to...
Well, according to just as a comment, I think that what staff has just indicated is that may become a little bit more active at this point as there's some more decisions to be made. So I definitely think it should continue to be a committee, and I've got enough assignments. I don't really have any interest in being in there, but I would like to see somebody that's really interested in making sure that they're available to give some good advice. And
I think Bob's got a good background on finance stuff.
I'm gonna replace myself, and if Director Leak could be in that position.
You want to be the alternate, or you want to be?
No, Kevin would be alternate. No,
well, they're both the same.
Yeah, there's no alternates. There's just two committee members.
This is not an alternate.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Yes,
both people.
Sorry about
so
that.
So you're saying on the inside,
investment
oversight
committee,
put Bob instead of Chris?
I'm gonna step off.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, if I may, I'm going back to the Community Center Committee, and further on down we have the Parks and Recreation Subcommittee and then the Landscape Subcommittee. It seems like it may make more sense if we combine the Community Center and Recreation and separate it from Parks and Landscape, because there's times when we intertwine those subjects when I meet with those groups.
Recreation's not. That's not. It's not. It's not landscaping. Landscaping's got its own subcommittee.
Yeah. Combine it with community center.
But if you combine it with the community center and parks and recreation, it may make some sense. And that's the conversation I'd like to have at the workshop. And I think for tonight, let's just get the committee assignments done, and then at the workshop, see if we need to massage the committees around a bit.
Okay. That's all right. I see what you're saying. Okay. We're gonna do the Landscape Subcommittee. So
I'd like to stay where I am.
And I have no interest.
Who likes greenery?
You're interested. Huh?
So I'll be there by myself.
And remember, these are not alternates. It's not
right.
Primary alternate. There are two members that attend these meetings.
I guess I'm.
Director Lee and. Director Simon will be on that. And then the Park and Recreation Subcommittee, I'll take the vacancy right now this time. And okay. Kevin, you also?
Yeah, I'll stay there.
All right. Public Financing Authority Subcommittee.
That should be the president. And
well,
president?
It never has been.
All right. So anybody want to change that?
I don't. If somebody wants it, I'll give it up. I'll stay on it if nobody wants it.
I'm already on it.
Okay, we're going to keep it as is. Water and Wastewater Subcommittee.
I have an interest in being on that. I'm only on one budget committee.
Kevin doesn't want it, so if you want it, you can have it.
I would be interested as well.
Which committee are we talking about?
Water and Wastewater.
Okay.
Oh, I think you're talking about public financing.
No. I thought that's what you said you wanted to be on. Do you want to be on public finance?
I can be on that, but I thought we jumped to water wastewater.
Oh,
I'm interested in being on that.
Were we almost there?
We're almost there. Some more discussion on that.
Which one are we on?
Water and wastewater. I think that's a very important component to our town, and I think that the longevity and the understanding of the systems and the history of how we got to these systems is important for that member to participate at that level. And I would recommend we keep it as it is.
Well, how does the new member get information?
Well, the other situation is that we're in the middle of capital improvement projects that we followed closely together with staff and with our city engineer, which haven't been completed yet. And it really feels like I want to stay on it, first of all. And I just think for continuity purposes, until at least these projects get there, when we complete the projects, that we maintain the integrity of the committee as it stands.
I disagree.
Okay.
It'll be a capital improvement program.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to keep that as it is right now, so we can discuss it at the workshop.
All right.
Anyway, these appointments are set. And Rick, do you have any questions?
Want to do it? Yeah, I got one.
Carol, you got all that?
I've got it.
All right.
You're going to need a motion or something for all confirmation from the board.
I'll make a motion that we approve these appointments.
I'll second it.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? Unanimous. Move on here. Okay, we're moving on to item E, committee and liaison reports. Item one, transplant report. No transplant report. We never get a transplant report.
Yeah, it's
not even an animal.
What's the guy's name?
Not even
Dwayne.
Dwayne Steele. Your
cousin.
Dwayne Steele.
I'd like to get a report on that.
I would contact the supervisor's office. She appointed that individual for that.
Is he still in the liaison order?
I don't know, but that's why I would contact it. I would have staff contact the supervisor's office. And,
yeah, I'd like to have the board get an update from the supervisor or the person that's in charge of that. Next item, item two, County Planning Commission report. Any report? No. Any code enforcement reports?
I didn't meet last month.
Okay. Any special district reports?
Excuse me. Go back to code enforcement for a minute, please.
Code enforcement.
On that subject, we still have an issue with signs being put out in very timely events. The pet sitter goes and puts her sign out all day Saturday. They takes it back Saturday night and then puts it back all day Sunday out here on this island. That needs to go away.
They're chaining us on there now.
Just chaining them to them.
We got to cut the chain. Just cut the chain. Take it.
Well, the deal is don't take me there.
All right.
The other part of that conversation is, if we're going to send our people out to get the sign, I can understand the first time putting the sign in jail and letting them come pick it up. Tell them, okay, here's your warning. Here's your sign back. If we have to take the sign down a second time, you're not getting the sign back. When we keep giving them back, all we're doing is doing them a favor at 5 o'clock, cutting their sign and putting it away.
We would recommend that we would bring a policy back to the board, and that way the staff would have the direction and the authority in order to be able to do that.
I think we should let the chamber know, too. All right. Okay, I appreciate that comment. Let's move on to item F. Is there any presentations this evening? All right, no presentation this evening. The consent calendar, any comments?
On paid invoices, I would just like to take off so we could discuss just briefly the Vector Services of $33,987 and the $23,400 item.
And I'd also like to remove item four for that for discussion, please.
Okay. Any other discussion? Have a motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Unanimous?
Okay.
All right, back to those items, please.
Well, a question I had, I understand why the invoices are there. I'm just not understanding exactly how we got that far into it without the board being involved. That's
page one.
That's on page 2 of 2, or page 17 of 64. I've heard kind of differing.
It's under the water.
Yeah, it's under water.
LDI growth partners.
It's the advanced pipeline.
This is the, as the board recalls, this is the subject matter relative to the storm drain that was clogged on Sandpoint Road. The county had sent us a letter indicating that it was our storm drain. And I believe that the board received a copy of the letter that I sent out today to the county requesting full reimbursement for those service fees on that. This item was not budgeted and did not come before the board for authorization. Point blank, it just didn't happen. It was done under an emergency authorization that due to my medical condition, it got past me to a certain extent, and I was out of town during that time. When I got back and realized what had happened, I put an immediate stop to it, called a contractor off-site. Veolia, Virgil, Greg Harris, and myself spent some time working on a workaround with that. This is the resulting fee for those services in order to clean the portion of the line that they did clean. It's on the REC 800 agenda to discuss with their board for tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. as well. I suspect that we will probably get some pushback from the county, but as you saw in the letter that I sent, that legal assisted significantly in the drafting of that letter. That we believe that we are in the right in this, and that the storm drain belongs to the county. They've used it unabated since 1984, and it was unfortunately a contractor that was brought on board without the proper authorization. Yeah,
just the only part that I'm unclear about, I don't know, and I understand. I agree with the letter 100%. I understand how it all happened, should have happened a little differently, but wasn't the county out there prior to the firms that we engaged to try and repair that, and they pulled off, and then we came in or something? I'm looking for that. That's the piece.
The county was there. The county actually came out. Originally, Veolia went out and used our vac truck, and they said we'll be here for 6 months if we do it, and so they pulled off, and we've got the county in, and I think the county got to the realization, whoa, this is too big for us, and came back and did an APN listing and looked and saw, oh, the town of Discovery Bay owns this piece of property, so it's their responsibility. Well, the responsibility of the actual ownership of the property may be the case, but the underlying maintenance and ownership and easements of the storm drain system belong to the county. And there, and as I noted when supervisor's office made a comment back in, I think it was early or late November.
Early December.
No, I wasn't here in December. They came to a meeting, a second meeting in November, because we were surprised to see them here, and mentioned this letter that they had originally sent to us. And I indicated that we had disagreed with that point in time, and we would be working on a response.
Right, but it's I guess for me to justify the emergency portion of it, how much standing water, what was backing up over in the, I guess it's the condo over on Sand Lake, is that where the water was not draining properly?
The storm drain, but all of the bays in Discovery Bay all have siphons in them at the ends of the bays, and those siphons take water for circulation purposes, so the water doesn't get stagnant. Those are all REC 800 siphon valves, and all those siphon valves draw back into the storm drain system and eventually make their way back either into the delta, or they make their way across Schooner Bay Boulevard at Sandpoint Road.
Through there and into the golf course.
And through across the street and down into the lakes into the golf course and circulate back out that way. They don't use those pumps that often, only during certain times of the year. And so when we had the flooding back there, probably September, I'm going to guess, they had some flooding back in the Sand Bay Isle community. If you remember, the water was backing up over there, and we thought that there was a water leak. The water main, it was the siphons going on, flooding that, and the storm drain not being able to keep up with it. So found out the storm drain was clogged with these clamshells, and the clamshells get siphoned out of the delta, and they multiply like rabbits.
Yeah.
And they ended up clogging about 200 feet of storm drain, 36-inch storm drain, about 200 feet. And there's much of the work has been completed. Had it been our responsibility, I would have issued, under my emergency authority, the ability to go do it, bring it back to the board at the next meeting, let you know we did it, get post authorization from the board, and that has, and I believe that occurred, but not in the way it should have.
All right.
How long is that piece? So the 200 feet, it runs beyond just under our piece of property. The clog goes much further than just under the property that we ended up with through by default.
It also runs under Carol's property.
Yeah,
so I don't know the name of her homeowners association, but
Cypress Landing.
But part of it is Cypress Landing as well.
Right.
So,
okay.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out how much water was backing up in. Is it in their parking lot? Is that?
Oh, it backed up into the parking lot. It backed up into the shopping center. And when we had the heavy rains back in December, I wasn't here, from what I understand, that the storm drain, we ended up rolling out our trash pump that we purchased a couple years ago. And we put the trash pump out in the storm drain, I guess, upstream of the clog. So in the event that the water, the storm, the rain activity was over what would overwhelm the storm drain, we could then pump from the trash pump down the street and back into the storm drain, just pump around it.
Yeah.
And I understand that wasn't needed because the clog had been, a lot of it had been cleared and the storm drain system was able to keep up with those heavy rains. Is that was correct?
All right. So, the best of our knowledge at this point, the storm drain still needs to be completely unclogged by the county or whoever they hire, because it's not going to go away. So they're still working.
Those clams are just going to get. Their
muscles
are going to
keep duplicating.
Correct. Yeah. So there's not only the necessary reimbursement to the town, but also the county needs to get fire lit underneath them to get out here and finish the repair work.
And we're hoping that letter will begin some dialogue towards that resolution.
Thank you.
Yeah, my question is, why wasn't there more responsiveness on the county side faster, you know?
I just think they came out, they looked at it, they put their back truck out there and said it's too big for us, went back and looked at the APN records, said the APN belongs to Town of Discovery Bay. If you remember, just a little bit of history on that, prior to the district's formation in 1998, CSA M8, which was owned by the county, owned that piece of property. Well, actually, Hoffman owned it as a developer, and for some reason never conveyed that piece of property to the county. They never deeded it over to them. So in 2010, I want to say in January, the district received a letter from Hoffman saying, for whatever reason, this never got conveyed to the county, never got quitclaim to the county, but now that you're the successor in interest, because we had then, since subsequent to that, we had taken over in 2003 Zone 8, which CSA M8, now we owned it, we were maintaining it, So there were all these years at the county from 1984 until 2003 was responsible for it. And now they appear to be saying that they're not responsible for it anymore. It just doesn't seem to make any sense.
But just for the record, when he says property, he's talking about the overlying property, right, not the underground infrastructure.
But all that being said, we still don't have any latent powers that give us any authority to do anything with the drain storms whatsoever.
That's correct.
Do we have clear channels of communication with those public works people for the storm drains in our community?
Yes, okay. We do now.
Any further discussion?
Mr. President, in the past, there hasn't really been any. We haven't had any conflict in the past with this, with the subject.
Yeah, it struck me odd that the supervisor's office would come out at that following meeting and address us in a formal letter, and it was shocking to me, and sideswiped just a little bit here, so. Okay, all right, moving on. Any further discussion on this item?
No.
Okay.
But I would move approval.
All right.
Second.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. President, with regards to item four, and in reading the report, I just wanted to clarify, it doesn't really, in the past, we have agreed that that would not be a stipendable event because it's a social event, although the cost of the event is covered through any vote we might do here tonight. I just wanted to clarify that if there is a vote that moves forward to cover the cost of each individual director's cost, not any spouses or guests, that a stipend would not be included in that, and I didn't think the report was really clear on that.
You know, Mr. Director Graves, you are absolutely correct. At last year's board meeting, this was taken from that item and it was copied over.
In fact, I think it was Bill that brought it.
And it was just an oversight on our part, but you are absolutely correct. The board last year made the direction that the board would not be paid a stipend for attending the event. But yet they would be reimbursed for the cost, that the district would pay for the cost for the board member to attend the event.
And I would make that motion that the board approve this as a town event representing the district, and that the cost of the event be covered by the town but not the stipend.
Second.
Any public comment? No comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item H, business action item, staff, please.
Yes, Greg. District Engineer Harris works his way up to the podium. This is an item that has been on the... It's included in the master plan, and it's also included in our current capital year budget to update the SCADA system throughout our water wastewater facility. And I'll let Greg go ahead and get into the details of that and exactly what this would be considering.
Okay, so we've been knowing for a while that we needed some improvements. If you recall, and actually, you and Bob, you probably aren't familiar with the system, so I'll give you a quick update. Much like your computer and your iPad and your stuff like that, they have sort of equivalent kind of items for industrial processes. They're called industrial programmable logical controllers, so they're kind of like an industrial computer. They're built to last a lot longer, things like that, but even they age and they come out of fashion. Manufacturers stop making parts for them, for instance, and stuff. So all the pumps, all the equipment in the district-wide, and there's a lot of them, are all monitored by different PLC computers, and they're all integrated, and it's all that data is collected in what we call our SCADA system. So like if you look at the pump house that you parked at right up here, if you go in there, you can open a cabinet and there's a special computer that sits in there. We'll keep it simple. There's a special computer that runs those pumps. That computer then talks to an overriding system that's called the SCADA system. And that SCADA system talks to all the computers in the town and then monitors info and processes information and then feeds it to Veolia staff. And if there's alarm events, if there's problems, if there's certain things going on, they get a phone call. It calls them. It calls them and says, hey, you need to go watch out. There's something going on over here. That's called our SCADA system, supervisory control and data acquisition. That's what SCADA stands for. Okay. So what we found is, we planned it for a while. The district did pay for a SCADA upgrade in 2007. Some of you were here. Kevin was. I know some few others. Okay. But, like I said, who's driving, and such. But it was a limited system, and it was a first step. And in the world of computing, you'll think about it, it was a 32-bit computer, and we had one of them. We bought one of them, and we essentially made our first step into upgrading to SCADA way back then. Well, since then, they don't make computers that way anymore. We can't buy a replacement when that computer fails. And it runs our entire district. Literally, monitoring for our entire district runs through that system. And so we have to upgrade it. Unfortunately, they don't make 32-bit computers anymore. We can't just change that software and upgrade lightly. We got to change programs. So we got to change the programming software that runs our district, if you would. So we brought this up to the wastewater committee in the summer. Talked about different options said, okay, let's go out and find a replacement. Let's get some quotes. Let's look into it. And so what you have in the agenda is two quotes that we received from people that are intimate into our SCADA system. These are all people that have worked on it. And what's important about that is everything is custom, so you can't really it's very difficult to generically go out to bid to the whole world when if they don't know what you have and what's going on. It's very difficult to do that. But these people are both companies that have worked with the town. Telstar did the original SCADA upgrade back in 2008. They did the original SCADA upgrade. Cascade has since been helping us with Veolia. Veolia brought Cascade in, actually, for several projects that we've been working with Veolia. And they've shown to be quite confident, and they've learned our system. So we got quotes from both those firms. We went ahead and got quotes on two different kinds of software. One was Wonderware, which is a common, popular program. Very expensive, very overhead intensive. Another one was sort of an up-and-comer, Ignition. So Ignition is a much more modern tool friendly. So it's built with the idea that iPads and iPhones and other things are just going to connect up to this and you can just use it. And it's much more friendly. Also a lot cheaper. And so we got quotes for those. And Cascade's quote was quite a bit less. $255,000 compared to... it was $400,000 to do the Wonderware program. So if you do a Contra Costa Water District, you run Wonderware. And there's a lot of districts that do. But there's also districts now that run Ignition. Cascade, the company, they did a complete SCADA upgrade at Atwater, which is also run by Veolia. I think that's how that procedure ran. So they know how to work with Veolia. And part of this upgrade isn't just like the alarming system and alarms. A lot of this upgrade is also taking us to more redundancy we don't have now. Because right now we have it's one computer from 2008, a 32-bit computer runs the entire system for the district. I mean, literally, if the hard drive fails, the whole system fails right now. So it was a high priority in the wastewater committee to create some criteria for this particular upgrade. Because last time it kind of happened, we need a SCADA system, so let's go get one. But no one really ever sat down and said, okay, how much redundancy do you want? What kind of flexibility do you want? Stuff like that. So we actually developed that in the wastewater committee. And we said we wanted to have redundancy, we wanted to have access for remote applications, and we want to be better than what we have now, and we want to have a flexibility that expands really easy in the future so we're not back here having to replace the whole thing. So that was sort of the criteria that went out and got in terms of these proposals. And I think we did a good job. The budget for the master plan was $350,000 in that range. We still have other SCADA needs in the district. This isn't the only one. So we're not blowing all the money here. We're putting it into here. And I was pleased with the proposals, and we're recommending we proceed with the proposal with Cascade.
On the Telstar system, if I understood you properly, they quoted us the Wonderware.
Wonderware, yeah.
And the the firm that we're
Cascade
yeah. did the ignition.
The ignition, right.
Well, does Telstar do ignition also?
They do, but and I asked them about that. Okay. But they have not done as many systems, so they said it would actually cost them more to do ignition than for them to do Wonderware. And the predominant reason for that is they are really good at programming Wonderware, so they felt they'd have less programming time, even though the program costs more. But we talked to them and asked them, well, what if you did ignition? And they're like, it's going to cost us more than what we did into Wonderware. So we basically told each vendor, go in with what you're best at, and then we'll take a look and see where right.
Did we look at anybody else that does the ignition program?
No, because A, given the time constraints, and B, unless they really know our system, you know, I can tell them, okay, you know, for instance, we have about 3,500 what we call information in and out points, pieces of information, so 3,500 pieces of information, if you would, coming in from all these different computers and all these different sources. It's very difficult for people to comprehend, okay, what have I got to program and what have I got to do if they aren't familiar with it. And so we chose to stick with people that are familiar with our system and had worked on it before. And so that's the two firms that we got things from.
Not knowing the background, I was a little surprised because I didn't know there were two different softwares in there. Just looking at the numbers, going, how could these guys be $200,000 more?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's but basically, you know, as best as we could, it's for the same redundancy, the same level of stuff, you know. And the other thing is the ignition is far more friendly to adding people. Like, for instance, the ignition system, literally every one of your board members can just click on and get on the SCADA system if you wanted to remotely. It doesn't matter. But with Wonderware, you have to have a special license for every single computer that talks to it, you know, and it really is a very cumbersome system. But that's what they had. You know, Wonderware's ran a long time, okay? But that's what they had then, all right? Now, you know, other people are coming out and say it's a mobile world. We need to be able to accommodate these without additional costs.
Right. How long is the ignition software?
It's actually been out 10 years. You know, still growing a market, but it's not anywhere near as big as Wonderware. Literally, probably a third of the people in the Bay Area use Wonderware, you know? But, you know, Contra Costa Water built their system 20 years ago.
Right.
And it's been coming along, you know? There's enough facilities that are using ignition that it's really taken off because it has some really inherent advantages in terms of users using it. You know, the real thing is there's people trained on it. Like, for instance, Telstar is trained on ignition, and so is Cascade. But Telstar is like a standard trained company, and Cascade is like a gold company. So they're just more familiar with that particular product, and they're faster at programming because every single I/O has to be programmed. Every single one is going to be created and brought in. Scaled up properly, created the view, you know, auto dialer. Now there's emailing, auto dialing, other alerts. These things have to happen.
And if I heard you properly, Veolia is working with this same firm and that same thing on another site somewhere else.
Yeah, we work on several of
them. Right. One of the big add-ons is it's not just alarming. We're actually integrating with HawkWinds. Veolia uses HawkWinds to track process data. And what I've been telling them is, why do we record it on the computer here and then manually type it into the computer over here, which is what's happening right now? And I said, part of this project is that's not going to happen anymore. If we have data that we are collecting with the computer, I want to convert it into HawkWinds directly. That is part of this project. So this is more than what we currently have. It is more redundant, has more features, and it's going to be more accessible. So cool. Those are all things that we wanted out of the upgrade.
Well, I didn't understand that. Hawkman, what is it?
Okay, so there's a process control, right? So we have equipment that's running. We have equipment that runs, motors that run. And if they break, we get an alarm.
Right.
That's part of SCADA, right? And then we have the process. You know, there's this much TSS or suspended solids. There's this much BOD. There's this much going on in the process, right? Well, HawkWinds is a program that Veolia uses to monitor themselves. You know, are we keeping track of our actual process? I mean, is the biology doing what it's supposed to? Okay. It's quality control feature.
All right.
But it's a separate program. Okay. But there's data like flow data and other data that they have to take from here to put in here. You know, so we're trying to marry those together and make our automation and get more out of our automation than what we have now.
All right. Thank you.
Kevin, you had a...
Well, I just, my only comment would be is that I'm not as concerned with, I mean, it's great that they're more than competitive in their pricing, but the really critical factor is how familiar is our contractor with working with that system. And that would be my chief concern, and what we've discussed in committee is that's really the important factor, that Veolia is comfortable working with this particular type of SCADA system.
Yeah.
I probably I read it in here, but I've forgotten. Once they're issued the contract, what's the?
It's about six months.
6 months, yeah. We'll be up and running and kind of be safe again.
Yeah.
And I just want to be clear, this high security system, and I really can't go on my iPad and mess with the water district. Personally.
Well, you can. It's like any website, right, or something. You know, you can get there, but if you don't know the keys.
No, you're not a good enough hacker. I was going to say.
You don't have the right credentials.
You're
cold, you have to know.
Your site can get in there, but you
can't. Handshake. If you know the secret handshake, yes. But if you don't, then no.
Scary. Okay.
I'd move to accept staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Any public comment? No comment. Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All is unanimous. Mm-hmm. Item two.
Well, Gray's going to go ahead and keep standing there. This is to update our wastewater master plan as it relates to our new Regional Water Quality Control Board requirements having to deal with nitrate and nitrite removal. And staff's recommending that we utilize the company that prepared the master plan, Stantec, for that. And I'll let Greg go ahead and explain a little bit about the nuances of what this would entail.
Okay, so as a reminder to the board, remember when we walked in with our permit, and I said, okay, we got our permit, congratulations, but we're going to have to spend money on this permit, you know, and of course, in the permit, we have to build not only the filters, which we're working on, but it's farther out, the nitrate removal system for the wastewater. But the regional board was on to us and everybody else, and they said, okay, just because we tell you don't have to build it for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, doesn't mean you get to ignore it and then show up in 10 years and say you're not ready. We want to see proof that you're actually working on it and getting ready for it. And so they put into a time schedule into our permit, they're already written in the permit, that we have to meet certain milestones along the way. And the first milestone is that you actually stopped and hired an engineer to look at it and kind of started getting an idea of the cost and what you're going to have to do if you're ready for it. Later on, you have to do a financing plan and some other things. So by April of 2015, we have to present a report to the regional board that we've looked at our facility and we've got a handle on, okay, what's it going to take to get there, you know, type thing, essentially. And so Stantec prepared our master plan, and essentially for a rather modest fee, they can come in and do that analysis, look at the best way, based on our facilities, to treat that nitrate and come with a cost estimate, so at least we're dealing with known numbers going forth on what that might cost and what it is going to take to get it done. Later on, that information will be used for our financing plan and things like that, but that's basically the first step. And technically, our due date's in 4 months.
Yeah, this is actually no surprise. We all knew this was coming.
Yeah.
We actually included the costs of this. Mm-hmm. All those little check marks that Greg mentioned that the regional board wants us to have these little reports done on an occasional basis. We included those in the. We know what they were. We know what the dates were. And we put them in this year's budget, so they're already budgeted and programmed.
Any further discussion? Any public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous?
Thanks, guys.
Oh, moving on.
Thanks, Greg.
Item three.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you tonight is the purchase of a 2015 Ford F-150 work truck for parks and landscape. This would go over to essentially the county zones. This is a follow-up action to the action that the board took back on November the 5th, approving the transition from contract services to in-house services. And while the vehicle is not a budgeted vehicle in this year's current budget, we do anticipate that within a year to 18 months, based upon the number of hours that the vehicle is in service at the current Caltrans rate, that the county will actually end up reimbursing us for that vehicle. So we would get payback for it, and then build up a be able to build up additional monies from that for maintenance and for vehicle replacement, that sort of thing. It's a vehicle that unfortunately has to be constructed and built and sent to us, so it's going to take a couple months once the order's placed. And it is being purchased through through a piggyback contract in the state of California, so we're able to go ahead and bypass our official bidding process and use the state that used to be called CMAS, and it's the California Government Purchasing Consortium is what it's called right now at this point in time. So staff recommends approval of this item.
If I may, I have a question. If I can.
Go ahead.
When this came up in November, one of the first questions I asked is, we just bought a truck. And I said, is there anything else that's going to go with us taking over the zone in-house? Are we buying any vehicles? No. Are we adding any? No. And now, I was never told, other than the 15 to 40 you just got, we were never told this on the truck.
No, we were. We discussed that there would be one vehicle for parks and landscape that would be needed for this transition. Yes. It was in there.
I thought it was two. We just got one. I thought that was the truck we just got.
That's a different vehicle. That's water, wastewater truck. That's a completely different side of the house.
Do we have extra trucks to throw?
How many trucks do we have?
Well, the truck that the new vehicle that we just acquired replaced the 1998 half ton or three quarter ton four wheel drive. That's still sitting in surplus. We got to get rid of it. It's sitting out of service, red tag. And we have the vehicles that our crew uses.
How many?
Two in public works and two in parks. So that would be 5-6 total. Be three on each side.
I can't figure out why we need another truck. How many, exactly, I mean, how many
employees do we have? It's due to two. Fairway, you can come on up and remind the board of that process.
So we're actually adding two new full-time positions that will start February 1st, as well as a half-time position for part-time seasonal during spring to fall. So we'll end up having five employees that are running two different sides of town. One of those trucks will be designated as irrigation maintenance during those high periods, a rover per se, and then two-man vehicles in order to keep up with the different areas, a mowing crew, a detail crew. There's different work that needs to go on. So
they don't all work together at the same time on the same job?
It's not efficient.
We need to have transportation to get there anyway. The truck's only with two people.
You're right with that.
That's kind of weird. I have a question. I'm sorry, Mark. Do you have a...
Right.
We got two prices here. Maybe the report specifies, but which is it we're going for, the long bed or the short bed?
Short bed.
Why are we getting a short bed?
Why would you ever get a short bed?
Because it's harder to move a trailer with a long bed, and we don't use them in what we're doing. So it's not untypical. None of our other trucks have long beds. We don't use them.
That'd be
we
my next
trailers.
Question. Is the current trucks are long bed or short bed?
Sorry.
And the new four-wheel drive was a long bed, though, right?
That was a long bed.
Okay, so we have been, if need be, we have vehicles that can carry a longer capacity.
We needed at least one heavy-duty vehicle.
Okay.
And that's what the new one picked. That's what
the
new
one picked.
Answer my question. New staff recommendation.
Second.
Any public comment? No comment. Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Unanimous, thank you.
Is that the last truck we're buying for a while, Mr. General Manager?
I hope so.
Or will we be facing this in another month?
I don't plan on having any, you know.
A tiny town with a fleet of trucks.
Well, we're pretty efficient with what we do, so.
All right, moving on to item four, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is a agent comment request requested from the county having to do with a change to a front yard setbacks in subdivisions 89, 92, 93, and 9067, all included in the Lake subdivision. Essentially, I believe it impacts 340 units. John's back there nodding his head. For some reason, these subdivision lot sizes were not carried over from some of the earlier plans. And what they did is they had a little bit of a larger front yard, but a very small backyard. And what Kuiper would like to do is change that so there's a little bit of a larger backyard, a little bit of a smaller backyard, which is front yard, which is consistent with the rest of the development. And the applicant is in the room tonight and can answer any questions that the board may have.
I've got a comment. I have a Ford F-250 crew cab long bed, and I've noticed that half the new houses I can't park on their driveways, and I don't like that. And so as long as I've got room to park a truck and walk by the garage, I like it.
Okay.
They'll tear down everything they built, they'll change it for you.
I don't know. It's funny. Everybody thinks you drive around a Mini Cooper. I don't think that's the real world.
Yeah, well, I have a F-250, and it barely makes it on the driveway.
It
barely
does.
By that much.
Just for clarification, so this is really making it consistent with what exists there from an aesthetic standpoint, but also functional by giving more backyard to the homeowner?
Correct.
And also, that would also give more privacy between the two homes from the backyard standpoint?
Correct.
Okay. In looking at the current setbacks and look at the proposed setbacks on mine, the rear setbacks are still 15 feet.
Yeah. They are, but you'll see the home moved 5 feet. So the minimum setback in the rear is 15 feet, but you see when the home moved forward 5 feet, mm-hmm. it's actually, it just says 15 minimum so that we know we're still held to the same rear setback. However, the home, the backyard on the proposed setback is actually 20 feet.
The 15 feet is code, minimum of 15. So you don't indicate the increase, you just indicate that you're meeting that minimum.
Correct.
Okay. I would move staff recommend. I would, wait a minute, this is a community
comment.
Yeah, I would just have no comment. I mean, I'm fine with that. Our typical deal is no comment.
No comment.
No comment.
No negative comment.
Yeah.
Morgan. All right. My only concern on that is that the way I viewed it without and seeing 15 feet is the house got bigger in the front. Nothing happened in the back, so we get to sell a bigger house.
Okay, the home size is not changing. The home moving forward 5 feet and moving 5 feet.
All right.
Groovy. That's it. Right. We don't need to vote on that, do we?
All right.
I would move that we have a no comment back to the county with regards to this condition of approval.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, I'll turn back over to staff. Any informational items?
No. As you know, I want to thank the board and my staff for putting up with my absence for almost 6 weeks. As you know, I returned yesterday from a fairly tedious process, still pretty painful. And I apologize to the board for being away. And fortunately, I think it was a good time of year to be away. It wasn't the middle of budget season or something like that. So that was at least fortuitous. So thank you for that. And it's good to be back. I also want to mention that we do have a workshop scheduled for a week from tonight. If you recall, it is a community center workshop. Is it still the board's pleasure to continue to host that workshop, and if so, at what time?
Do we already have the calendar?
Calendar, yeah.
What's for the calendar?
I just wanted to make sure again because there was some question as to one of my staff members had a question as to your availability, but your availability is fine for the 14th. So I just wanted to make sure to come back to confirm that is indeed the case. Can we push it up to 6 instead of 7?
How do we get people home from work to dinner at 10? attend. Our public to attend.
To attend.
I had
it's board's pleasure.
I had it in mind at 6, so I don't
know.
Okay. Oh, for the purpose of convenience for the staff, or for, well, why would you want to move it up just to get it in and out of here quicker?
It's both.
3-hour meeting.
Okay. It's just both.
I'm okay.
We generally have workshops at 6.
Yeah. I'm That's fine. I can make that.
Either way.
I have it down for 6, so.
Okay.
Can you make sure staff sends us reminders, please? Not that I forget. Mm-hmm.
Carol. I will do that.
Carol's very good about that.
Yes, she is.
I will do that.
You threw a brick through my window last week with a note.
I do have it. I have it down for 6 also.
I'd like to make sure we have invitations out to the tennis folks, the swim folks, and you know, anybody else that has a significant event in the last
girl that
year
does the exercise classes.
Yeah, she should be here. And anybody that participates or puts together those programs should be here at that meeting. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll jump back. We're on general manager's report. But let's jump back in informational items. Is there any other informational items from the board? Okay, we'll move on. President's report and director's comments. Also, my comments for after you guys. Any updates?
Oh, yeah, I do. Two things. First of all, Hugh pretty much covered what went on with the East Contra Costa County, so that's nice. I don't have to do that. Unfortunately, in November, was diagnosed with cancer, and I will be going in for surgery on the 20th of January. Everybody feels, the team of doctors feels that it's been cut up pretty early, that it should be, for them, routine. For me, not so much. But I will be missing the meeting on the 21st. Hopefully, fully intend to be able to be available on the 31st for the workshop.
Any other directors' comments?
Nothing for me.
Yeah.
Other than good luck with your surgery.
Thank you.
Hopefully, everything comes out fine.
So to speak.
Oh, I got a feeling I know where it's at.
Rick, we're glad to have you back, and you're missed, and we're glad that you're on the healing side of things. Kevin, definitely our thoughts and prayers with you on that. I have a concern in our community, as a lot of people do, in the water. I'm concerned about the weeds and the lack of visible activity on it, and I think that it's going to be a monthly reoccurring topic I'm going to be bringing back as a public comment, and I'm concerned about we're going to miss the springtime and getting the weeds dealt with. And I think there's some bigger issues going on that's slowing this process down. And so I'll be talking more about that this year.
Water weeds?
Water weeds, yeah. Affecting all of our bays and our property values. And I think that the Delta and the governor's got a big issue right now, and I'm concerned about the governor's actions. And I'm looking forward to bringing some reports back to you guys on that. Anyway, Happy New Year. We've got a great district, and we're going to be moving forward with good progress. Let's move on now. Let's move on to our district legal. Anything legal?
Nothing to report.
All right. Any committee updates? Okay. Any correspondence? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any public records requests?
We actually did, but it came this week, so you'll see it next time. It was the standard public employee compensation request that comes from
every year.
We get it every year.
He's a guest at the CSBA Water.
No.
Is this the Thomas Peel request?
Yeah.
All right. Actually, I don't know who it is. It comes from PRA requests
every year.
So I don't know who it is. I'm assuming it's Mr. Peel.
No, it's somebody else.
Yeah, that's amazing. Any future agenda items, anything for this year you guys want to talk about?
I think our work session, we should kind of, something may come up there, we can handle it, push it forward, do whatever.
All right.
We've got a lot for you.
Good. Plus what we added to see.
Right. Yeah.
We got a lot for you, and it's going to include a new truck. Actually, it will include a new truck. Come, that we'll see what we can do.
We should get at least 4 more trucks in a month.
All right, well, if there isn't any further discussion, I'm going to adjourn this meeting at 8:24.
Good job, man.